As we wrap up 2025, one thing's clear. Uncertainty isn't temporary. It's the world we live in now. Noble Gold Investments helps Americans protect what they've built with real gold and silver, holding value when everything else feels uncertain. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and take your first step toward a safe future. This holiday season, when you open up a qualified account, you'll receive 10 one-ounce commemorative silver holiday coins. Visit Noble Gold today.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Welcome to the Barnyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson. As you guys know, we're recording this show remotely. I had to get up yesterday about 6 a.m. and get a couple things done and hustle over to Auburn, Alabama. And so we're going to recap the game and we're going to talk about a few things and see where things sit. The reality of it is, I'm sick of losing. I'm absolutely sick of losing. And I know you guys feel the same way that I do. And we may express that in different ways, but I am absolutely sick and tired of losing. I mean, you put so much into this, you look so forward to it, and you don't get the return on the emotional, financial, our personal investment, and it's easy to get sick of losing. And we lost again last night, I think it could have been prevented, my own feelings. But nevertheless, I don't know what the sound quality looks like today. Of course, I have to bring some equipment on the road with me, and so hopefully it works out. So I hope it's not too much of an inconvenience for all of you. But we're all in the same boat. Right? Every one of us is in the same boat. So I encourage you to row right along with me as we just, kind of navigate through this and just see what happens. You know, that's the reality of it. I know many of you are already off the bandwagon, and we will welcome you back with open arms when that time comes. But difficult loss last night, and I really feel like it could have been prevented. That's my feeling about it. And I said it then, if you go back and look at my Twitter feed, that's one of the things that I said when we brought Pico back out for the seventh. And before we even get too deep into that, I thought Pico was outstanding. Maybe didn't have his best stuff, but probably the best stuff he's had in a couple of weeks. And we did plunk a couple of guys too. And part of that's, they do like the kind of crowd to play a little bit. But nevertheless, Pico tagged with a loss last night. And I feel like it's probably one of those games you look back and say, a hit here, a pitch there, whatever. But the bottom line is it's another Bulldog loss. And some things have to change. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Some things have to change. So I don't know how long we go today. I'm trying to get this thing up, get to lunch, and get to the ballpark. I got a couple things we got to do to prepare for the ball game. And so I share that with you just because of the fact that there's some things going on around me. It's housekeeping's always wandering around here. They may knock on the door. You may hear that. It's not. I'm not in any danger. But nevertheless, there may be some outside noise today as you listen to today's show. Let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of the show. We love Bulldog Burger Company. We have for a long time. Bulldog Burger Company, the best place to get a hamburger in the great state of Mississippi. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. 3 great locations to serve you. University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Rich and Flowood area. But there's so much more than just hamburgers. You need to have those spring rolls as your appetizer to make you and everybody around you better looking. There's no other appetizer that does that. It's the science. Trust me, it's in writing. And once we write these things down, they become true. Some of you know that reference. Some of you don't. And if you don't, you should. Get that chocolate shake and ride that ride home with a smile. 3 great locations to serve you. University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Rich and Flowood area. So if you're in town or on the way to town, we encourage you to stop and enjoy some Bulldog Burger Company. if you're not feeling a burger today and everybody else is, there's so many great things on the menu can accommodate you, including that BLT salad. The portions are so incredibly substantial. I don't think I've ever finished one. That's how great it is. I like it grilled. You may prefer it fried. Completely up to you. I'm not judging, but I know that Bulldog Burger Company can nourish you and give you a meal that you enjoy. I don't just eat for survival. I eat for enjoyment, and I enjoy going to Bulldog Burger Company. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. All right. Let's run back through this game. We expected runs to be at a premium in this ball game, and they were for a while, as you guys know. And we didn't get started, goodness gracious, till 9:15. Start time was at 6. We get to the ballpark, and a couple people said, hey, we're going to get rain during this game. And I'm like, is it going to impact the start time? Well, we don't know yet. And then pretty soon thereafter, we did find out that there would be a delay. So again, about 3 hours and 15 minutes is your weather delay. Seems like we've had a lot of those. I kind of joke with Logan Lowry, we've had too many of these, you know. Too many of these rainy nights together. But nevertheless, there was some rather significant weather that came through the Auburn, Alabama area. It did not last very long. And, of course, the last thing you want to do, and I'm sure that Butch Thompson and Chris Simonis both agreed, we didn't want to start and then have a lengthy delay and everybody burned their best two pitchers on the weekend because of a weather delay. But nevertheless, that's where we are. And so let's jump into it. And, of course, State opens up and goes 1-2-3. You know, Fry flies out in the center. Reeves goes down looking. Reese, we didn't go 1-2-3. My mistake. Reese gets the infield single there, and then Sullivan strikes out swinging. Kind of a tough night for Sully, and a couple of those were deep counts where he just didn't get a call, and there were a couple of calls that I thought were poor. Now the team and the coaching staff can't say that, but you and I can. I thought the strike zone was a little bit all over for both teams. Jacob Bain is with me this weekend as we travel, and he shared the same sentiment. He goes, man, this umpire's been all over the place. And he was. But we get the one hit there in the inning and two out single from Reese and really couldn't get going from there. But we did run it up a little bit, 20 pitches in the inning for the Auburn starter, Samuel Dutton, as you guys are well aware. Auburn comes through with Rembert, freshman out of Pensacola, Florida, had a big night against State. He gets his he reaches base 5 out of 5 times, 4 hits on the night and a hit by pitch. But his first hit of the night comes on a full count as he singles it through the right side. They get the sack bunt down. They struggle to score runs of late, so they're trying to manufacture some things early. They give us the out, get the runner to second. Ike Irish, who we did a really good job against, he's their best hitter. And we take that away from him. Justin Parker doing a good job in that respect, taking the big bats out of the lineup and forcing someone else to beat us. Irish flies out to center, and then Beaulieu strikes out swinging. And so, again, both teams with a first inning hit, but neither team able to draw blood here. State does go 1-2-3 here in the second. Hines, Stallman, Chance all strike out. Pretty efficient inning there for Dutton. You hate those strikeouts looking. And Reed Stallman with 4 Ks on the night. He has swung a big bat as of late, but really, really struggled last night against the Tigers. Pico comes back in the second and matches Dutton with a 1-2-3 inning where he strikes out the side, getting Snow, McMurray, and Fabian. And McMurray was a guy that Auburn expected to really do some big things for them this year. But as Butch Thompson told me in our exclusive interview earlier this week, McMurray has been really slow as of late. Does get a big hit later in this ball game, but has not been the guy I think they expected him to be. So again, through two innings, it's a scoreless ball game. We open up the third. Gats Anders strikes out looking, and then Joe Powell, who proved to be a hero in this ball game for a bit, he earns the 4-pitch walk, and that was only the 13th walk issued by Samuel Dutton this year. Fry lines out to right, and then Reeves hits into the fielder's choice there, and they retire Joe at second. And so a little traffic on the bases for the Bulldogs in the early innings, but again, no runs. Bottom of the third, Frelick hits an absolute laser, and Gats Sanders does a great job of making the play there. Guevara strikes out looking, and then there he is again, Rembert. 2-0 count, he singles back up the middle to extend the inning, and then we hit Bristol Carter. the first real drama of the ball game, but Pico jumps and attacks Irish, gets ahead 0-2, and gets a routine fly out to left. And so, again, it looks like it's shaping up to be a pitcher's duel. Then here in the fourth, State gets on the board, opens the scoring here. Reese is hit by the pitch, and it did appear that our ability to kind of work some counts here maybe impacted Dutton a little bit. I didn't think he was quite as sharp as he normally is. Jason Caldwell, the inside the Auburn Tigers, sat next to me on press row, and he made the same comment that he just hasn't appeared to be quite as sharp. And State did a good job of spoiling pitches from time to time and not really chasing. We did take a lot of strikeouts looking, which was a problem for me. You got to go out there and compete. But Reese is hit by the pitch, and so you're thinking, okay, a chance here for us to maybe do something of significance. And Noah Sullivan hits it over the big green monster out there and left on a 2-2 count. Really good at bat there. Hits the tank and gives State a 2-0 lead. Heinzing grounds out to second. Stallman strikes out swinging. Chance singles through the right side. I think Bryce's been pretty good here the last few days. And then Sanders flies out the center. And, Gatch is not going to be a home run hitter. You know, he's more of a punch and Judy guy. But I think he is giving us some quality at bats. And in this situation here, we weren't able to tack on there. But, hey, a nice opening salvo as the Bulldogs take a 2-0 lead. Bottom of four, this is when things kind of became unraveled a little bit. We shifted here on Bellew, and he gets the bunt down. I don't like shifting early in counts. I'll just rat a gate. So we have basically had Pico dominate this lineup with the exception of leadoff hitter. And then we give them a single. What do you know? We basically don't even give them the problem of bunting. We have the wild pitch there. And so they get the benefit of the bunt without surrendering an out. And then we hit snow. Now there's trouble, right? We give up a single based on a decision, I think, defensively that was a mistake. And then we hit the hitter. And then McMurray singles to right field. Well, that loads bases. And you feel like they're going to get at least one. However, Pico refused to yield and gets Fabian to strike out swinging on a full count. Looked like it may have been ball four, but hey, sometimes that's what happens, right? Frelick, the freshman catcher, singles to left. That pushes a run home, and you think maybe we'll get out of this thing? And then Guevara flies out in the center. RBI sack fly. Game is tied. And then Rembert, again, a burr under the Bulldog saddle, doubles down the left field line, chases in two more to make it a 4-2 game. Rembert takes third on a wild pitch, where we get Bristol Carter to strike out swinging. So four runs there in the inning. And even though it was probably only 1,000 people at that ball game, you know, it really felt like those that were there were engaged, and they hadn't had a whole lot to cheer about. Well, then they do. State a chance to answer here in the fifth, but Powell grounds out to short, Fry grounds out to third, and then Reeves lines out to the shortstop. Hit the ball exceptionally well, but just kind of right at him. Bottom of the fifth, Pico matches him here. We get Irish again to strike out swinging. Bellew grounds to first. Hines tosses to Pico, who covers, and then Snow grounds out to third base. And so, again, going into the sixth, State trailing a couple runs here, and you feel like you've got plenty of time, but you can ill afford to allow them to expand. Well, Reese opens up the sixth with a single through the right side. Sullivan strikes out looking. I thought strike three was low. Hines grounds out to second. Reese takes second on the play, and then Stallman strikes out looking. You know, Stallman's been a guy at times just kind of hiding like a snake in the reeds for us with some really big power, but tough night last night. All right, bottom of the sixth, Auburn does get a chance to expand a little bit here. McMurray flies out to left. Fabian then doubles down the right field line. Fraley grounds out to the pitcher. And at that point, I thought, well, we're going to be able to navigate this without giving up the run because it was basically just kind of a nubber back to Pico. Runner can't advance. We get the out. So basically a non-productive out. And then the nine-hole hitter, Guevara, singles through the right side. That's the last two at-bats. He's picked up an RBI. Drives in a run to make it a 5-2 ball game. And then we hit Rembert with the pitch. Maybe that's more pitch efficient, right? Instead of letting him work counts and get a single anyway, just go ahead and plunk him. Carter flies out the center field. And so they get the one run. It is now a 5-2 ball game. And it feels like, you know what, I think I know how this thing is going to go. However, give Mississippi State some credit. Bryce Chance lifts kind of a pop fly there into short right field. And the second baseman's retreating, and you need your right fielder to call that thing off. And then he has to kind of reach for it, stumbles over backwards, the ball drops. And so Chance, again, you put the ball in play, you got to make them make a play, right? And so not the most, barreled up ball that Bryce Chance is ever going to hit. But nevertheless, it kind of starts a rally here. And then Gad Sanders comes up and just laces one into left. A diving attempt there by the left fielder, but the ball does get down to give State runners on first and second. Joe Powell comes up, and I'm thinking bunt. And Lamona said in postgame, too, he was thinking bunt there, too. However, Joe swings away the very first pitch, and it is a three-run bomb to left to tie the game at five. And at this point, I believe we're going to win this football game, this baseball game. We're going to win. That's how I felt. I said, we have overcome the adversity. Pico's probably got maybe a hitter or two left, and we're going to talk about that extensively here shortly, but I felt like we'd be okay. You know, you're in the seventh inning. We've negated the home field advantage in many respects because of the fact of the weather delay, and so it's not like playing a true Friday night on the road in the SEC. It's more like a fall ball game. That's how it felt. So we get those three runs home, and there's still nobody out. And so you've tied the game, and you've got a chance here to basically begin again. Fry grounds out the first. Reeves goes down swinging on three pitches, and then Reese flies out to left field. Kind of a quiet night for the top third of the order. Reese did do a couple things there, but get the hit by pitch and gets a single. But Reese, I guess, had a couple hits in the ball game, but not the loud ones, right? But people around him got to pick it up, right? All right, so here we go, and I tweeted this out, that Pico's back out for the seventh, probably just to face Ike Irish, because he had dominated Irish so far in this ballgame, and he does here too. We get a ground out to second. I thought, okay, well, maybe we'll go get him here, but it's a lefty-lefty matchup. Okay, so we'll stick with that. Well, lo and behold, he gets Ballou to pop up to the shortstop. Well, then there's Snow that comes up. He's a righty. And Pico was fading a little bit. It was obvious to anybody watching. And I get it. I mean, he gets through there with, seven pitches through the first two hitters. And so we end up walking Snow. And at this time, too, Ben Davis is already hot in the bullpen. He's ready to go. And again, McMurray's a guy that struggled a little bit, even though he's already had one hit in the ballgame. But I would have had the righty pitch to the righty. That's just my feeling. I think we gambled and lost here. And I think ultimately, in many respects, it cost us the ballgame. You never know what would have happened, if we just go 1-2-3 inning here. But nevertheless, I didn't think we managed this well. I would have brought in Ben Davis to pitch to Snow. That's my feeling. And certainly after Pico walked Snow, I would have gone and gotten him, even though it sets up a lefty-righty matchup. I think with that plus-plus sinker that Ben Davis throws, we probably would have been okay here, but instead we stay with Pico, who gets behind 3-1 in the count, and then he gives up a double into the right field, down the right field line. The run scores, which ultimately proves to be the game winner. And again, to me, I have absolutely nothing negative to say about Pico. I thought Pico was grinding out, doing the best he could for his team, to get a W, but I think he stayed two hitters too long. Said that on Twitter. I still believe that to be the case. And, hindsight's always great, but the reality of it is it was clear that Pico was fading a little bit. And I understand maybe give him Irish, right? You give him one, right? You know he's fading. He's almost at 100 pitches. I think he had 113 pitches when we elected to let him pitch to Snow. And it cost us. It did. And, of course, Ben comes in, gets behind 3-1, but gets Fabian to fly out to center field. And so it's a 6-5 ball game, and you know how these things go. Everybody's still got the full complement of their bullpen at this point. So Carson Myers is the guy that gave up the home run to Joe. They bring in Hetzler, and then Hetzler gets Sullivan to strike out swinging. And there was a couple of calls against him I thought were debatable. I think guys are ready to go home. Hines grounds out the first, and then Stallman strikes out swinging again. Bottom of the eighth, Ben Davis, throwing pretty hard here. Gets a ground out. Stop him if you've heard this, with that plus sinker. Fraley grounds out, Guevara grounds out, and then Rempert, again, just an absolute irritant, man. Kind of got some David Marchand to him. He's a designated hitter, but he will be a primary second baseman for them moving forward. And then Rembert singles to the left side for his fourth hit of the ball game. And then Brusler Carter pops up to second. So we go to the ninth, just needing a run to extend the ball game. Chance grounds out to short. The only thing that I'll say negative about this is in the final nine, you know, the final three outs you got to get, I don't like swinging at first pitches. I don't, especially with the guy that's already been in the game. But we ground out to short, hit the ball hard, it's right at shortstop. And Sanders is hit by the pitch. And, of course, you know, Gatt decides to kind of work the count here a little bit. And it's 2-0 before anybody gets comfortable. But he plunks him. So now the tying run's on base. We elect to pinch run with Ross Highfill for Gatt Sanders. And Joe's at the plate. And, again, Joe's had a couple of good at-bats. So I kind of see it. I thought we would steal here. And especially with the freshman catcher back there, Ross Highfield, probably our best base stealer. But we don't put him in motion here. He does get there close enough that then it's just a force play rather than a double play. And then we pinch run O'Brien. And what do you know, Garrick Vrij comes through to keep the rally alive, singles to center field. O'Brien takes second. So now you're thinking, okay, the run should score. Michael O'Brien, the fastest Bulldog on the team, base hit here, especially with wet grass, there's no chance. There's no chance Auburn's going to throw him out. And Reeves hits a hard shot right at the third baseman. He makes the play, goes and steps on the bag, and that's your ballgame. That's your ballgame. And I think, again, the decision.
As we wrap up 2025, one thing's clear. Uncertainty isn't temporary. It's the world we live in now. Noble Gold Investments helps Americans protect what they've built with real gold and silver, holding value when everything else feels uncertain. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and take your first step toward a safe future. This holiday season, when you open up a qualified account, you'll receive 10 one-ounce commemorative silver holiday coins. Visit Noble Gold today.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Many supplements on the market are hard to absorb or packed with fillers, but that's not the case with Quiksilver Scientific. Quiksilver Scientific is a U.S.-based company that manufactures advanced liposomal supplements, making nutrients easier for your body to absorb and put to work quickly. Made in Colorado in an NSF GMP certified facility and rigorously tested, this is science first supplementation. After adding ultravitamin into my routine, recovery feels faster and I don't hit that midday crash anymore. Trusted worldwide for supplements that truly make a difference in performance, resilience, and well-being. Quiksilver Scientific makes advanced liposomal supplements so you can actually feel the difference. Energy, focus, calm, recovery. Get 10% off plus free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. That's tryqs.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
To leave Pico in to throw to the right-hander was kind of our undoing. That's my feeling about it. You may feel differently. Let's go back and run here. Garrick Vrij, 1-for-5 in the ballgame. Sawyer Reeves, 0-for-5, and a couple Ks, but he hit a couple balls really, really hard, just kind of case of the Adam balls for him. Reese goes 2-for-3 in the ballgame, scores the one run on the Joe Powell homer. Sullivan, 1-for-4, pardon me, on the Noah Sullivan home run. Sullivan, 1-for-4 with the 2 RBI on that two-run shot to left. Bryce Chance goes 1-for-4, of course, had the other ball that was dropped that opened up the rally. Gatt Sanders goes 1-for-3. Joe Powell goes 1-for-3 with the home run. Bulldogs walk just twice in the ballgame. Noah Sullivan gets one. Powell gets the others. But the Bulldogs struck out 12 times. And, again, you go back and look at this. We talk about strikeouts and things of that nature. Noah Sullivan struck out 3 times. And, again, I think a couple of those were debatable. But Stallman, 4. So 7 of your 12 strikeouts come from 2 guys. You know, and Hunter Hines kind of been – struggling a little bit to see the baseball. He strikes out just once. Yes, he goes 0 for 4, but he puts some balls in play. And I think part of it, too, one of the things I've noticed about Hunter, too, when he gets to grooving well, he works the middle of the field and works backside. He is kind of a dead pull hitter type guy. And we saw some of that last night. But he was putting the ball in play. Maybe that means something for the rest of the weekend. But unfortunate that Pico tagged with this loss. Pico, 6 2/3 of an inning, scattered 9 hits. And 6 runs, all of them earned. And, of course, those last two, the most dramatic in many respects. But, again, I go back to the early shift to give them a bunt. And, you know, there's just a lot of things in there that I would have done a little bit differently. He strikes out 8 and walks just 1, but plunked 3 in the ballgame and allowed those 3 extra base hits. And goes 121 pitches when it's all said and done. Ben Davis goes 1 1/3, allows a hit, no runs, doesn't walk anybody. And just threw 24 pitches, so there's a possibility he may be able to come back for us on Sunday. And so that's your recap of the ball game. And, you know, we talked about it, but we knew that this Auburn trip was probably the most difficult series we had left on the road. And now we're 0-1, you know. And now they don't have a lot of elite pitching either. So the weekend isn't over, which makes today all the more important. We need to be able to go out there and win this ball game today, force the rubber game on Sunday, and hopefully Carson Ligon can give us a decent start as he has the last 3 weeks. But, this is one I just firmly believe, and I've said it multiple times now, I believe this one could have been prevented. Now, of course, you bring in Ben Davis with 2 outs there in the 7th, and he gets a ground out. You never know how the rest of this game plays out. You don't know for sure. But that was one of those things, even in the moment, I just didn't quite understand with, you know, Pico out there just trying to gut it out as best he could. And Pico probably would have come out for the 8th because he is a competitor and doesn't want to leave. But I love guys that want the baseball. But in this situation here, when he's already 100-plus pitches, I think, you know, you got to go get him. That's my feeling. And, of course, you know, you guys I know probably feel the same way. But the reality of it is that we got out hitting this ball game 10-7. You know, I'm not a big believer in just tipping the cap, but I thought, you know, Dutton did a good job. But once we did a good enough job to keep that game in play until we got into the bullpen, and then Joe with the big swing against Myers, and it's like it negates the good start from Dutton. You know, it basically makes this thing, you know, a 9-out fight, and we lose it. Simple as that. You know, it's not like you just had left a bunch of guys on base. We had trouble getting on base, and we got to do a much better job against Fisher today. But, you know, my attitude has always been I'm going to pull for Mississippi State, and I'm going to be a Bulldog through and through, win, lose. We're going to stay on the road. We're going to cover this team because I know that our program deserves it, and I know that you guys do as well. It would be very easy to just say, you know what, I'm going to give up and I'm going to stay home. What if something magical happens? Right, and we're not there to cover it. You guys need representation, and we try to provide that to you. And again, the first question that I asked Chris Simonis last night was about that decision. You know, I think you guys need to know, you know, these things. What was the line of thinking there? What was the reason why we sent Pico back out? And again, it's not a criticism of Pico in any way whatsoever. But in that situation, I'd much rather have the righty throwing to the fresh righty. Throwing to the righty rather than the lefty who's given everything he's got for us to try to help us win this ball game. And, of course, he's an Alabama native, so you know this game probably meant a little even more to him. And I just think that he deserved a better fate in that respect. So with that, we're going to give Pico our Close with Blair Player of the Game award. I think that's the least we can do, right? Blair Chandler is my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. Blair is a guy that gets things done. Yeah, simple as that. He gets things done. So whether you're looking for your first home, your new home, or your retirement home, look no further than Blair Chandler at closewithblair.com, 601-500-2344, 601-500-2344. How many times in your life can you have a 24-year veteran being your advocate in anything? Right? I mean, it's a rarity in life, right? And so nobody stays in an industry like that for 20-plus years without doing a great job. And so I can highly recommend Blair, as several of our Boneyard listeners will as well for you, because they've closed loans with Blair. Simple as that. How cool is that? Right? A bulldog doing good work for other bulldogs. I like to keep business in the family whenever we can. I encourage you to do the same. All right, time for today's top 10 list. As always, brought to you by Kalido Guitars. That's C-A-L-I-D-O Guitars. Kalido Guitars, based out of Lake Jackson, Texas. This is a company that is owned and operated by Mississippi State people. Maybe you didn't know that. You should. And we should keep business in the family as we can. Simple as that. We should. And I think one of the things that I love about Kalido Guitars is not only are they interested in selling you high-quality instruments with an extremely high level of service during and after the sale, but they're trying to help Mississippi State. They came to me and said, hey, listen, you know, we got a good thing going down here in Lake Jackson, Texas, but we'd like to maybe expand our branding a little bit, but also, too, we want to help Mississippi State. And so when you buy a guitar or any guitar-related product from Kalido Guitars, and you can get guitars, you can get gig bags, you can get cases, you can get strings, you give them a promo code of BSR, whether you do it over the phone or online. I'd encourage the online, right? But some people just want to do business over the phone. It's your business, right? I'm not going to tell you how to do business. But mention promo code BSR. That gets you 10% off your purchase. And if you don't live in the state of Texas, you don't have to pay sales tax. Yeah, that's a good benefit too. But to even sweeten the deal a bit, you know, 5% of your purchase goes to the Bulldog Initiative / Bulldog Excellence Fund. And so good, the guitar players and your family, you know, it's, don't you think it's time that we upgraded from pawn shop guitars? I've got some pawn shop guitars that I love. They're very, you know, sentimental to me, but they're not great instruments. And I know this, right? And I don't play enough that I need to go get a new rig. But when I do, I'm going to get it from Kalido Guitars. That's C-A-L-I-D-O guitars.com. Okay. Was working through some things today. Guys, I'm going to be honest with you guys. And maybe you know this about me, maybe you don't. I love a female rocker, man. I do. I love great female vocalists, especially of the rock genre. I do. And if you had to ask me, if I had to answer that question today, who is the best female rock vocalist of all time? Well, it's got to be Ann Wilson, doesn't it? From Heart? I think we would agree with that. I mean, I love Janis Joplin. The catalog is not big enough. And some of her big hits are covers, right? Of the modern era, I love Lizzie Hale from Hailstorm. She is an absolute sweetheart and has the grit and the glamour in her voice that has made her a superstar. But I think it all goes back to Ann Wilson. And, of course, you know, Wilson sisters from up there around the Seattle area. And I remember being a kid, man, when the coffee industry had these advertisements and things like that. And there's, like, a video of the Heart sisters sitting behind the mixing board as they record a new album drinking coffee. You know, like, here's Heart. Yeah, with making a new hit record. Enjoy in a cup of coffee. So maybe that helps. Maybe that's where this whole Seattle coffee thing came from. Who knows? But I thought, you know what? We know so much of Anne through Heart. And if you have never done this, if you're looking for some entertainment today to see something absolutely tremendous, go look at the Ford Theater Presents thing and look at Heart with Jason Bonham on drums doing Stairway to Heaven with Led Zeppelin in the crowd. It is amazing. And you can see how pleased Led Zeppelin is with the performance, but and absolutely kills the vocal there, which leads us into our top 10 today. Ann Wilson side projects, and ironically, our number 10 track is going to be a Led Zeppelin song. We're going to work some covers in here because she did such a great job with them. But from Led Zeppelin 4, or Runes, whatever you choose to call that legendary album, Ann teamed up with a group called the Lovemongers and covered Battle of the Evermore, or Battle of Evermore, which is the my least favorite song, but on that album. But, you know, there is some string arrangement in that that is very, very interesting. And I think Ann does a great job with the vocal. And to me, in some respects, and I mean, no disrespect to Robert Plant, I think Ann's voice actually fits over that string arrangement better. I know that's sacrilege, but that's how I hear it. We talk about Ann and the Seattle roots. Number nine, a song that she covered for a band that she loved and continues to love. It's Rooster from Alice in Chains. Yeah, she covered, and it's so incredibly eerie the way she did it. Like, the arrangement and the lower register really come across in the intro on this, and it really works. Sticking with covers here for just a second here, number eight, and I recently discovered this, which is one of kind of the impetus here of this list, and covers the Audioslave / Chris Cornell classic, I Am the Highway, and it is so incredibly well done. So if you love Chris, and I know you do, and you love Heart, and I know you do, it's kind of like worlds colliding there, and it being a great thing. All right, number seven, one of her own tracks, a collaboration with Warren Haynes. It's You Don't Own Me, and a lot of people feel that way, obviously, as you should. But that's an interesting track and something that she did outside of Heart. Sticking with that theme, number six is Greed. Greed off of one of her solo projects. And it's one of those songs, too, that I think Anne kind of shows you that she hadn't gone anywhere. A collaboration that had some incredible success. You know, Dolly Parton had a number one record, rock record, in recent years, and she collaborated with Nikki Sixx and a lot of other people, but she also covered Magic Man with Ann Wilson. And if you've never heard it, you're going to love it. You're going to absolutely love it. And nothing ever compares to the original. But to hear, number one, the arrangement's a little bit different, but to hear Ann and Dolly work together, and it's one of those things, you know, Dolly Parton's at a point in her career, she can work with whoever she wants to, and everybody wants to work with her. And to think that Dolly Parton would have a number one rock record is pretty crazy, but it's very, very good. It's very, very good. Of course, it's basically a covers album, you know, but a couple things on there you don't know as well, but that's one of the high points for me. Recent top 20 hit, and I think, if I remember correctly, this was on the Biggins Countdown on Sirius XM Octane. It's Disturbed with Ann Wilson doing Don't Tell Me. And I love Dave Draymond. I think his voice is incredible. I believe of a lot of what he stands for. He is a guy that is very principled. And I like people that actually have principles and live by a bit of a moral code. Whether you agree with them or not, I respect it. But that was a big hit for them, you know, within the last 12 months. Again, that's Don't Tell Me with Disturbed. A song that you probably don't know, and it may be one of these songs that you need to know. I love Mr. Big. When Mr. Big first hit the MTV airwaves with Addicted to That Rush, you know, Paul Gilbert was there from Razor X, and you know, Billy Sheehan, of course, from the David Lee Roth Experience, and Eric Martin from the Eric Martin Band singing. A lot of people know, you know, To Be With You and their cover of Wild World, but I liked them from the beginning. That debut album I thought was phenomenal. But Mr. Big has recently kind of hung it up or announced it. I think maybe this current tour is the last tour. But they did this little, I don't know, influences and type, you know, maybe artists that they appreciate type collection. And they did a great song called Promise Her the Moon, and Ann Wilson sings backup on that. Super cool track, man. I mean, it is. It is an absolutely great song, and probably one that you don't know. And if you like the softer edge of Mr. Big, and they were perfect for MTV, this is one that I think you'll dig, without any question. All right, number two, and maybe you didn't know this. You remember we discussed this, that Sap from Alice in Chains was recorded between Facelift and Dirt, and they actually demoed some of the songs that ended up being on Dirt during those recording sessions. Well, the Sap EP, which is super cool, and also features Chris Cornell and Layne Staley singing together, we've discussed that on the show, but on the song Brother that Jerry Cantrell wrote, Ann Wilson sings backup. And maybe you didn't know that, but you should. And to me, it makes the song even better to think about Ann Wilson, one of the greatest rock vocalists of all time, who just happened to be from Seattle, kind of jumping on board and helping an up-and-coming Seattle band. Super cool. But number one, and it's got to be from Footloose, right? Everybody's heard this song. And I don't think the people of today that maybe have jumped aboard that the real Footloose movie understand what a big deal that was. When Mike Reno of Loverboy and Ann Wilson of Heart recorded Almost Paradise, people were like, well, this is incredible. You know, because Loverboy was huge at the time. Huge. Them and their leather pants. Huge. And they were more rock radio friendly than a lot of the metal bands. But Mike Reno, an incredible singer. And so that was their contribution to the soundtrack. And I would say outside of the title cut of Footloose, that's the song that people remember from that soundtrack. And I think in many respects, too, that it opened some doors for Ann Wilson and Heart, for her to be heard on, you know, terrestrial top 40 type radio. You know, there were a lot of people that played album rock back then, but, you know, the top 40 was kind of limited, you know, to those top 40 type bands. And then this song comes up, and I think it really opened the doors to a bit of a renaissance and a revival of Heart's music. I apologize for that. That's hotel accommodations, but it gives me also the opportunity to say, too, it is okay to have the V6. It's okay to have the V6, and, you know, that's cool, right? But, you know, just because you have the V6 doesn't mean that you have to pretend you have the V8. You know, that's just how it is. It just absolutely drives me crazy. It really does. I know my wife always says you shouldn't let these things bother you, but... yeah, I had to pause the show, and I'm, because I'm on the road, I don't have the editing equipment to edit that obnoxious exhaust out of the feed. But nevertheless, it is okay to just have the V6. You don't have to pretend you have the V8. I have the V8 and the Coyote engine. So if we want to compare, we can. But ridiculous. Ridiculous. Fake tough guys. But nevertheless... that's your top 10 list. Hope you guys enjoy it. Enjoy the music of Ann Wilson as we get ready for our preparations for today's ball game. Shortly after the show is up, I'll do your pitching preview. Ball game tonight is at 6 p.m. Central. You guys be sure and check it out, and be sure and visit ColitoGuitars.com. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, campusbookmart.net. That's your one-stop shop. When looking online for new Mississippi State merchandise. I think everybody probably knows that by now, but if you don't, you need to know. If you haven't been shopping at Campus Bookmart, then you owe it to yourself to give them the opportunity to serve you. Absolutely outstanding place to shop. Whether you're looking for apparel or gift ideas, everything that you need to outfit your fan cave is available to you at Campus Bookmart. And go by and check them out. And if you can't get to town but would still want to help support a Starkville business, and we certainly are on board with that, visit them at campusbookmart.net. Promo code BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all items over $75. Any order less than $75, absolutely incomplete. So we kind of keep it simple, like the promo code for Kalita Guitars, BSR. Promo code for Campus Bookmart, BSR. Promo code for Stark Vegas Clubhouse, BSR10. Just to make it easy for you guys, rather than have a million promo codes to keep up with. And if you're like me, if it's free, it's me. And free shipping is always good, right? It certainly is. Not to mention, a lot of times the shipping that we're getting these days isn't worth paying for, but I digress. All right, let's take a look around the Southeastern Conference last night. Georgia finally wins a game, and it is at home. You know, Oklahoma made it a ball game for sure, but Georgia comes out right out of the gate, gets a 6-0 lead. Oklahoma cuts it down to a 4-run deficit in the fifth, but Georgia answers right back with 3. Oklahoma kept kind of chipping away, but just couldn't finish the deal, and they lose 10-9. Dawson Willis, the Oklahoma Sooners third baseman, 4-for-5 in the ballgame. Slade Alford, former Diamond Dog, 2-for-3 with a home run and 4 RBI. Florida, red hot these days. Liam Peterson goes 6 innings, strikes out 13 in a 6-4 win over Arkansas. And he leaves the game with a 6-2 advantage. Arkansas picks up a pair of runs there in the seventh to make it a little more interesting. But in the end, Florida closes it out. they're now 7-12 and kind of figured some things out. And that's three. Listen, they sweep Missouri, take 2 out of 3 from Mississippi State, and now they've taken 1 from Arkansas. So pretty hot stretch for the Gators. Alabama's now taking the series from Missouri. No surprise there. But, you know, Missouri got that big lead on Thursday and couldn't hold it. And then Alabama comes back on Friday and takes game 2, 7-3, 11 hits in the ballgame. Riley Quick, again, doing a good job for the Crimson Tide. 6-2 on the year now, 5 2/3, 7 strikeouts, allows just the 1 run. Bonamalo, the Alabama center fielder that was kind of a burr under the Bulldog saddle, he goes 3-for-5. Chris Patterson, 2-for-4 from Missouri in a losing effort as they get down 6-0 in this ball game and then get 3 to make it kind of interesting. Alabama with an important insurance run there in the 7th. So Missouri now 13-29 overall and 0-20 in SEC play. Vanderbilt and Ole Miss, and give Ole Miss some credit here. Hunter Elliott goes 5 innings. He has not been working deep in ball games, but he's been effective, and his offense has kind of picked him up a little bit. 6-2 on the year. Mitchell Sanford, the Rebel left fielder, goes 3-for-4 in the ball game. It was a 1-1 game in the 5th, and the Rebels put up 4 runs in the bottom of 5 to give themselves some breathing room. Vanderbilt comes back, and we know they're very challenged offensively. Put up a couple runs there in the 8th to make it a 5-3 ball game. Ole Miss answers with 3 in the home half of the 8th and puts this thing away 8-3. Vanderbilt with just 4 hits in the ball game. And they're ranking a top 10. They are not a top 10 team, you know. And again, that's just kind of part of how things work, you know. It all works out in the end. But Ole Miss now 30-12 overall, 11-8 in the SEC, and still in the hosting discussion. We don't like to hear that. Pitching duel down in Austin, Texas last night. The series that so many people have their eyes on. A&M has been red hot. However, not much going on for them last night. They were able to out-hit Texas 8-7, but score just the 1 run. That comes in the 8th. Texas gets up 1-0 in the 3rd, pushes it out to a 2-0 advantage in the 7th, and an A&M scores. But A&M's Ben Royo, the second baseman, 4-for-4 in the ballgame. Ruchar Riojas gets the dub, 8-1 now for Texas. Tommy Farmer, the 4th, 2-for-3 night with a solo home run. You guys are well aware of what happened with Mississippi State. But some craziness down in Baton Rouge. You know, they were delayed due to weather as well. And it was a pitcher's duel, basically, until the 9th inning. It was pretty nuts, really. I mean, it's a scoreless game through 5. Tennessee breaks through with a run in the 6th. They tack on another in the 8th and another in the 9th and go to the bottom of the 9th with a 3-0 lead. And you think, okay, well, here's how it's going to go. It's all going to just go the way that it normally does. But the Tiger voodoo is real. It's absolutely real. And so they get a couple outs there, and it's just so interesting. You know, that's the thing about LSU I've always respected, is that LSU never feels like they're out of it. But Fry reaches on a throwing error by the third baseman. And then Milam strikes out swinging. Brown gets on a fielding error. So two errors in the 9th to kind of set the stage. And then they walk Reeves to load the bases. They pinch hit with Beck, who I think had had 6 hits the entire season. He singles to center field. And that sends a couple runs home. Now it's 3-2. Stanfield flies out to left. It's 2 outs. They're a pitch away. And then Correll, the talented leadoff hitter for LSU, singles through the right side. The run scores to tie the ball game. And then on a 1-2 count, Bear Jones hits a home run that nearly went to Lafayette. I mean, he absolutely hit a moonshot. Well over 450 feet. 3 runs, LSU walks it off 6-3. And again, they're down to their final out and end up winning the ballgame. You know, and again, that's the thing about LSU I've always respected. They never feel like they're out of a game. And once that crowd kind of gets going and everybody gets excited, that the crowd kind of wills that team to victory. Kind of helps, you know, that LSU plays as well as they do. But yeah, big 452 feet. There you go, 452 feet. Home run. Looking at Saturday's action, and some days I forget what day it is, Oklahoma and Georgia are already pretty deep into their ball game. They're playing earlier in the day. It's already the sixth inning as we record now. Malachi Witherspoon has thrown five innings, and Oklahoma with a 2-1, this is in Athens, 2-1 lead in Athens. So Oklahoma, pretty good position here, but probably needs a few runs. And again, Georgia just two hits in the ballgame. Missouri and Alabama will wrap up their series this afternoon. That's first pitches at 1 o'clock. South Carolina, Kentucky got pushed back due to weather. They're going to play a doubleheader today. Arkansas and Florida, of course, continue. Texas A&M and Texas, that's going to be a 3 p.m. game on ESPN2. So if you're looking for something to watch in advance of the Bulldogs game with Auburn, that's probably a way to go. And, of course, South Carolina and Kentucky will play the second game a little bit later. Vanderbilt and Ole Miss, they'll get underway at 5 o'clock. The nightcap after Mississippi State, well, Mississippi State begins at 6. At 7, Tennessee and LSU. So it could be an interesting day in college baseball. It tends to always be. But that's where things sit as we get ready to get into our Saturday afternoon traffic. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Just Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse. You'll be glad you did. It's the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle area. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. We've stayed there. You bring a large group to town. It's nice to have everybody under one roof rather than scattered all over the Golden Triangle. And then you can't get a hold of everybody. It's more difficult to coordinate. It's like, well, Bill and Julie want to eat here, but then, you know, Jim and Janet want to eat there. You know, well, what did they say? Well, you know, everybody can just go stand in the living room at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse and you can flesh all this stuff out. Yeah, how about that? Make it a lot easier, but also, too, not just for a matter of convenience, but for comfort, right? How cool is it to be around everybody and have the opportunity to kind of sit and visit together and kind of get caught up, whether it is a family retreat, a work retreat, or perhaps a college roommates reunion? You know what your needs are. And the Stark Vegas Clubhouse is here to accommodate them and help you fulfill those needs. You can visit them just simply by Googling Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Their Facebook page will auto-populate. That'll give you the opportunity, of course, to peruse their Facebook page and see all the amenities that are available to you at this point. In addition to that, you're going to have some booking options come up. As Mr. V6 makes his rounds through the parking lot again. You got some booking options come up. You can book through Airbnb, VRBO. But if you book through the Evolve website, I can save you some money. That's Evolve website, promo code BSR10. Saves you 10% off. You'll be glad you did. We've had a great time, and we plan to go back again. We spent New Year's there, and I can't begin to tell you how much fun it is to have that full-service kitchen, to have the wet bar, to have the great back porch area, the fire pit area. It was really cold when we went. We had a great time with the fire. I was very proud of myself, even though it was kind of damp out there, to get a good fire going. And it's just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. So you have the opportunity, of course, to just do your tailgating right there at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse and save yourself a lot of time and trouble. And then go enjoy your ball game and come back home and be with the people you love the most. All right, the spring transfer portal is now closed. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't other players to make their decisions, but Friday proved to be a very busy day for Mississippi State. Now, the first thing that I'll tell you, we do have some finality with the portal as far as outgoing traffic. State has a couple of other people to enter the portal. We didn't list everybody, these walk-ons that went in the portal. We did some of them, the notable ones, but Travion Wright, the last scholarship player to go in, and then Samaj Parker, a tight end, elects to transfer to. And of course, he transferred in a couple years ago from Livingstone College. And you know, the roster spots are very, very precious, you know. And if you don't have guys that are going to contribute, they're just riding the scholarship roles. And that's the thing, too. If you don't believe you can develop a guy into a contributor, the more merciful thing is for everybody to just move forward. And so as it sits right now, Mississippi State, no more outgoing traffic, right? And so that's done and behind us. That's important to understand, too. Now the roster will kind of begin to kind of take shape. We got 9 signees, too, that are also expected to report at the end of May and take part in summer workouts and And so you had to make room for those guys. You know, it's part of the deal. But tight end Ja'Cory Whitted, transferred out offensive lineman Jesse Rommel, signed with us in December and then transferred out. And he's a little bit smaller. I don't know that he really would have helped us. Defensive lineman Mason Clinton, he was a questionable take to begin with. But, you know, we went out and got some JUCO guys to make sure we had something and then kind of went bigger game hunting in the portal. We kind of recruited over him. Dontari Russell also going to move along. Offensive lineman slash tight end Malik Ellis will also go. Linebacker Josiah Knight. And then Carson Lee, another guy that signed in January and now transferred in the spring. So that's three guys that were new Bulldogs in January that are now back in the portal for a second time in just a matter of a few months here. And then, of course, Travion Wright. Now, Wright, of course, transferred in from Memphis, you know, shortly after Matt Barnes got here. And that's kind of part of the deal, right? He came in, had the season-ending injury, and it's so interesting, too. That's, again, one of the things that I encourage you guys to do is to take a lot of these, quote, sourced reports about scrimmages and practices kind of with a grain of salt. And that's not necessarily a criticism of the people writing those reports, but maybe the sourcing of itself, because there's no way for us to validate that, right? And so somebody says, hey, this guy's looking good. And one example is Travion Wright. Travion Wright was reported multiple times as being a guy that was expected to push for a starting position while he was pushing a cart around the SEAL building. Yeah, and so I share that just because of the fact, yeah, it's all for entertainment value, but it's not anything that you need to put any emotional investment in. And so Trey will now move on. We wish him the best. He played in one game, and that's not necessarily his fault. He didn't ask to get injured, but he did. Worked his way back, played at Arizona State, never really got back into it. So we wish him the best. Now, State currently sits with five transfers in. And you say, but Steve, we had so many go out. Well, we needed to have more go out than we had come in because we were still oversigned due to those high school and junior college signees. So as you guys know, it's been a busy week for Mississippi State. We've already talked about Jaquan Bolden, the former Canton, Mississippi native that went to Mississippi Gulf Coast Community College and then picked Purdue over Mississippi State, goes up there, breaks a hand, has to take a redshirt year last year. Now he's headed to Mississippi State. And again, we needed size, athleticism, length. We're getting that with him. Offensive lineman Blake Steen, had a chance to interview him too, talk about his experiences. And coming to us from Virginia, one of the highest rated offensive linemen in the portal, and a guy that we expect to be a real factor at right tackle. And again, I apologize for the interruption. I had to tell housekeeping we're good. But anyway, so you know, Steen is a guy that I think will be a difference maker, not just a depth guy. I think he's a guy that will factor and really compete at right tackle. That's very important. We needed to get better at tackle. I believe we have. We picked up a couple tight ends this week, including one yesterday. You guys are aware, tight end Sam West from Indiana had already joined the program. And then yesterday, we picked up the commitments of deep snapper Ethan Myers from UT Chattanooga and tight end Max Reese from Eastern Michigan. It's ironic, the day that Carson Lee, who was helping recruit Reese to Mississippi State, Carson Lee goes in the portal and Max Reese arrives. Of course, also a friend with Marcus Allen, also of Eastern Michigan, that makes the way in. And what's interesting, too, with you know, the tight end spot, you know, that's a room that had to get better. But we also, you know, we really wanted to get like a blocking tight end and a pass catching tight end. And I think we're just kind of one of these situations now where, you know, we're doing the best we can in that respect. We needed that room to get better. And I think in some respects, and all due respect to Max Reese, a native of Chicago, Illinois, 6'2", 237 pounds. He's kind of more of what we got, to be quite honest. That's just my feeling. Now, he was very productive last year with 27 receptions, 232 yards, a couple touchdowns. Also, even carried the ball one time for 3 yards. But got a couple of years of eligibility to work with. But we'll see how things go with him. You know, but, you know, we needed to get better on the offensive line. We needed to get better at the tight end position. And I still think we need to take a defensive back. That was one of the things that we talked about in December, and we wanted to take another defensive back, but we just didn't like the options that were available to us. And I commend the staff on not just taking a guy to fill a spot, right? If he's not going to contribute, we don't need to take him. And so we didn't do that. And so now we've kind of gotten into the spring, and we've had a couple guys that we've seen taking some flyers on, I guess, and seen them go elsewhere. And so I suspect here in the next couple of weeks, you're going to see one more offensive lineman. You know, and you've had Javen, you've had Ferguson, you know, you've had a couple of guys on campus. We expect to get, you know, one or two more, but to visit. But I love what Levy has done so far to address the needs, get the deal done, and get that taken care of. Because we went in thinking we were going to take three offensive linemen, a couple tight ends, if we could find two that we liked, and then a defensive back. And now you've got two offensive tackles in. Now you'll take a best available. Is it that a guard? Is that Ferguson? I think we'd love for it to be Ferguson. Is that Javen? I don't know. But you need to take one more. I think Ferguson's probably an NFL guy eventually. I think he has the opportunity to play in a National Football League. So certainly to me, in my estimation of the known names of the portal options that are still on the table for Mississippi State, he makes the most sense if we can get him, right? The tight ends are now full. I think you're done with tight end recruiting by every stretch. And you didn't have to go out there and bring a bunch of guys to town. You bring in two tight ends, you get them both. That's super cool, right? And so now defensive back, I think that's the priority. I feel pretty confident about an offensive lineman or two that we have a good chance to get if we push. You know, Ferguson, of course, visiting Syracuse this weekend. I'd like to think we could beat Syracuse. You know, that's just my feeling. Maybe you guys feel differently. I would like to think we could get Syracuse in the rearview mirror. But I think you're going to see some more defensive back names pop up now. And I think that's one of the things, too, that coaches have to be careful about, right? It's really a gamble because you feel like you need a defensive back. And I don't think we're defensive back poor. I think we've gotten some good guys in. And we'll see how things progress. But I would feel a lot more comfortable with another guy, especially with Trey Wright moving on. And I think that's all connected, right? But if you can go out and get a corner, I think that's the best option. But if there is a difference maker at safety, you take him, right? And I've learned to never say never in this thing, but the numbers are extremely tight. But if you're a coach, and let's say that you have some guys that you feel really good about, and maybe these guys have not really had the opportunity to prove themselves on the playing field in the real game yet. You got to be careful. Because if you go out and you offer a whole bunch of corners right after spring, then the guys that went through spring are like, I went through all this work and they're still looking to replace me. I'll just go get in the portal. The offensive line is completely different. All those guys knew, right? I mean, it's obvious, right? I mean, if you watched Mississippi State practice this spring, we were not a big group. We had a lot of bodies, but we didn't have a lot that I consider like power four size guys that are going to go out there and drive people in the ground. I just didn't see any of that. And maybe you guys did, but I was there at practices. And that's the one group that concerned me. I've talked about it on the show. And so you had to address that. And so some of those guys you knew were going to get in the portal, and some of those guys you needed to get in the portal. And so you're very open offering those guys. I think at corner, when you're probably just kind of looking for one guy to add at depth, and of course if you can find the difference maker that can come in and start, you certainly would take that guy. But I think you had to be a little more careful about that, just because I think we are in a better position at corner than we were on the offensive line. I feel a whole lot better about the offensive line now that we have added Bolden and Steen, and that we're on some other guys that I think could really help us. And I think the Javen James thing is interesting. He's still got multiple years to play. And so you look at him and say, maybe we take him as a developmental guy because it replaces some of these guys that maybe we missed on. But, yeah, I think two more commitments in the portal at a minimum. I can say a third one if you see a difference maker. And if you have room to accommodate them. That's the most important aspect of it now. Because now the roster, you're not going to have any more defections unless a guy just gives up the game, right? Or just, you know, there's an injury or something. And we're always mindful of that. But as far as like transferring out. That's behind us for now. The window will again open up after the season is over. And there is a lot of chatter, too, that they're going to do away with the spring window. Because one of the things you got to think about, and I don't know that you guys fully appreciate this, we have got to have some uniformity when these NIL deals. And what I mean by that is, like, many of these people have licensed agents. Some others don't. And you have some people out there, too, that are, like, taking a much higher percentage than you would probably expect. And so they're always looking for the next payday, right? And so they say, okay, well, we're going to transfer to Mississippi State in December. And we get paid. Well, hey, Kentucky wants you to come too. I talk to Kentucky and they say, hey, if you get in the portal, then we can go get paid again in the spring. And then it becomes this, you know, recurring theme where, in many respects, I believe that these players are being exploited. Now, yes, they are receiving some compensation, but it's not as uniform as you think it should be. People say, what's a small percentage? Guys, I can assure you some of these are not small percentages. And so you have these money-hungry agents, and not all of them are like that. Some are very professional in how they conduct themselves, but there are some other agencies out there that are basically just fleecing these schools for their own benefit. And so that's one of the things that's got to get fixed. And I think one of the steps in that is to remove the spring portal. I think that is absolutely something that has to take place. We have to remove the spring portal unless they're a grad transfer. I think grad transfers, you can't transfer in December because you're trying to complete your degree requirements. Well, you know what? You can go ahead and finish up in the spring. We'll let you transfer as a grad transfer. But as far as all this underclassmen stuff, I think that needs to be removed. And you have the one portal window. Because don't you want all your new players to go through spring practice anyway? I think we do. So I think you're going to see that be a little more restrictive, as it should be. And, of course, some young enterprising lawyer will try to find a way to, you know, ruin it more than we already have. But that's something to kind of consider as we move forward. So we're going to go ahead and wrap this thing up. And I want to thank you guys, too, for all your support. And I have a lot of people that tell me, you know, ask me, say, Steve, you know, I mean, you traveled all these games and you guys are always there. And we want to provide the best coverage that you guys have ever seen in the history of the university. I mean, that's our goal each and every day. We never take days off. It just doesn't happen. Some days I may not produce as much content as I'd like to, but that doesn't mean I'm not working. You know, I've got a lot of meetings and things like that. Had multiple meetings this week. But fortunately, we have an army of folks over at genespage.com that can kind of pick me up. And so I appreciate all of you. I've had a chance to meet some people. I met some Bulldogs from Montgomery last night, and you have to forgive me if I forgot your names. I meet a lot of people, but we had a chance to visit right outside of the press box last night, and a gentleman told me that he listens to the show religiously. And said, living in Montgomery, he feels somewhat connected to our Bulldog family better by listening to this show. And I believe his wife's name was Bethany. I think. But they live in Montgomery now and sitting on premium tickets, you know, at Auburn. I wish we would be able to get you guys a win last night. We all need it. We deserve it. And I can't tell you. There's an uncertain future in front of us. But we're going to be here to cover it. I love Mississippi State baseball. I love Mississippi State athletics, but baseball is my favorite sport. I enjoy covering college football recruiting. I'm very competitive. But as far as covering games, I love the poetry of the game of baseball, and I long for the days that we are a dominant baseball program. You know, it's true. That's how I feel. I don't just want us to be good. I don't want us to see a regional as a goal. I want it to be an expectation. And, the last few years have been tough. It has been on all of us, and it doesn't change my feelings about my role in this process and my job. You know, we're bringing a crew to Missouri. You know, no matter what happens the rest of the season, we'll be there to cover that too. That's the last road series of the year, and we'll be there at Missouri to cover that. And I don't expect to see a lot of good baseball from Missouri, but we cover Mississippi State, and we have an obligation to you. To give you the best coverage we possibly can. I'm not just going to get, hey, it's a difficult season, so, you know, I'm just going to take my ball and go home. They can just watch it on TV. I think you deserve better from me. and I'm going to give it to you. And that's how it is. That's the expectation. You know, my dad always talked about being a genuine article, you know. And I'm not a fair weather fan. I'm not a fair weather worker. You know, it's easy to get everybody fired up when, you know, there's the post-game party. You know, this isn't always the case. But I appreciate you guys more than I could ever say. And so when you guys come up and visit and say hello, it's important to me. It is. It kind of adds a little fuel in the tank. You know, it makes that truck stop coffee go down a little bit quicker. You know, with a little more ease, a little less heartburn. But, yeah, we'll be back in Starkville. And, you know, we'll have some opportunities the next couple of weeks to win some ball games. And, you know, my hope is that we can find a way to have a winning weekend. I thought about that as I went to bed last night. I was so disappointed. I said, you know what? Tomorrow's another day. And if we win tomorrow and set up a rubber game on Sunday, and you win that one and you win this road series at Auburn, it sets some things up next week. But the thing that I can tell you from a very personal place is I'm so tired of the roller coaster, right? I'm not a minimum standard person, and I don't think Mississippi State is a minimum standard program. And so I want to, at this point in the season, when we're getting ready to turn the calendar over to May, I want us to be competing for a top eight national seed, not hoping we slide into a regional somewhere as a three. That's not what I expect. Now, some years it's going to happen, right? Because nothing ever goes quite as planned. But the roller coaster of emotions of, like, each week, what do we need to do? This week I told you guys we really needed to go 3-1. Well, that's not possible now. We can still salvage something of the weekend and maybe take these two, but I get tired of feeling like a scavenger. You know, I want to be the predator at Mississippi State baseball. You know what I mean? I want us to be the team that people are scared to play. It's like, well, they're coming in. There's no point in going to the game because Mississippi State's going to beat our brains in. I want to get back to that. I do. That's what I want. And I love this program, and I love all of you. And at times like these, and I said this on Facebook, and it got some pretty good reaction, but it's the losing that divides us. It's not people. It's not always decisions. It's the fact that we lose, right? Because you're going to make bad decisions even in games that you win. You're going to make right decisions that don't always work out the way they should. And you're going to lose ball games. But when we win, it's easier to tolerate all that. You know, sometimes you win in spite of yourself, right? And I just want to win. I do. I want to win. And I know that's what you all want as well. There are some people that are very invested in their personal narrative. It's not even about winning with them anymore. But I don't care who fills out the lineup card. I just want Mississippi State baseball to win ball games and win things of significance. Not just feel good about a Tuesday win over a non-conference opponent. That's not a goal for me. That's just part of the journey and a means to a larger end. And I know you guys feel the same way that I do. Come float with us at True West Float Spot, Starkville. Dana had a really busy day yesterday and got a pretty busy schedule today. You might be able to sneak in there and get on the schedule, though, today and certainly on Sunday. You can call her at 662-268-7601. You can download the True Rest app and just simply book online. Super cool process. You don't talk to anybody. You can just walk in, get your spa sandals. I like to call them float flops because I'm from South Mississippi. But you can go in there, and my lovely wife will take care of everything. With your first float, you get 10 minutes of oxygen, too, because you need to be a little bit revitalized. You're going to be in such a profound state of relaxation after you float. If you've never done it, you owe it to yourself to try it. I mean, again, it's basically sensory deprivation. And you go in there and let your mind rest and let the magnesium-infused Epsom salt, 1,200 pounds of it, just kind of let your muscles relax. And you're going to walk out of there, I believe, feeling like a better and more relieved person. That you're going to feel better about yourself, doing something for yourself. And I don't mean just sitting in your bed scrolling through Twitter or Facebook while the TV's on because your mind is not at rest. And I think that you'll find the quality of your sleep will likely improve too. But yeah, come be a part of that. And of course, go to dutynoblebook.com. You can get all my sports titles there, get them signed. You know, Father's Day and Mother's Day are both coming up. You got some Super Bulldog fans in your life. Provide you with a good gift idea and a personalized book. Wouldn't that be cool? Yeah. And so you can get Flim Flam, Stark Villains, Alpha Dogs, Dog Pile, When the Bottom Falls, and The Dude addutynoblebook.com. It's not just that one book. You can get there. You can get everything there. So be sure and check that out. Hey, but until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.